Radio Network.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I've got they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Indeed, and if you're in Tampa Bay right now, you can relate as Karen Carpenter is singing that song, because it's, what would you say, sloggy out is what I would say. It's like pea soup. It's very foggy and it's drizzly. And it's because of that storm that's winding around out in the Gulf. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, September the 14th. Can you believe we're halfway through this month? We will be talking in a few minutes with Mark Miller from the Pacific Legal Foundation about the hypocrisy of Barack Obama. The hypocrisy when it comes to private property rights. You know, he's got Hawaii property. Wait till you hear what he's doing with it. In the meantime, across the NFL, players linked arms, dropped to their knees, or simply refused to come out during the national anthem. We're going to take a look at the issue. Are they doing the right thing? Are they stoking separation, or are they healing? We'll talk about it. And Donald Trump holds an indoor rally. Did you know he held an indoor rally last night? Much to the chagrin of the governor of Nevada, just outside Las Vegas. We will get some thoughts on that from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi. And in our ultimate top 10, we've talked a little bit about people coming and going now. With all the taxes and the trouble and the climate, well, the top 10 biggest outbound states for residents, the ones that are leaving. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, the best barber in Tampa Bay, for my money, is Andrew Ceresi and his group of merry men and women. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin, in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. You got to call for an appointment, 727-733-3773. 733-3773. Well, like a lot of people, I couldn't help myself, Ed. I had to watch football. And especially because here in Tampa, we had Tom Brady for the first time quarterbacking our beloved Bucks. And he had to go to New Orleans, and he had to face a quarterback that perhaps did a little better job than he did yesterday, Drew Brees, who's, I don't know if Drew Brees is any younger. I guess he's a couple of years younger.
41.
So he's 2 years younger. I don't want to talk football right now. We may talk at the end of the show. I want to talk prior to the game.
Okay.
Teams opening the year this weekend to empty stadiums. They knelt, they locked arms, or they didn't even show up for the national anthem. And I just want to talk a little bit, first of all, about some of the places and what was being done in Atlanta, which I think they showed the Atlanta game here.
Yes, that was the first game.
The teams wore armbands, which honored John Lewis, who was from Georgia, the late John Lewis, the congressman, and staged maybe the most striking of the gestures of the day. They barely flinched as the opening kickoff landed beyond the end line. They all took a knee and remained there for about 10 seconds. In Jacksonville, no fans. Excuse me, fans were absent everywhere except Jacksonville. They actually had fans in Jacksonville. In Minnesota, George Floyd, they hosted the family of George Floyd, who died at the hands of police back in May. The Viking players locked arms in the end zone about a half hour before their game. And I guess the black national anthem is now called Lift Every Voice. It was played before each game. Before each game this weekend. So there you go, and on and on. So there was definitely some tribute to what is considered to be systemic racism, I guess is the term. I think it's probably dividing people more than it's healing. Because whenever you put any kind of political gesture before the public, you are bound to get separation rather than unity. It's like an unzip rather than a zip when it comes to unity. But are they protesting for the right reasons? They are protesting, apparently, racism against black people, especially by police. All of that started, I think, with about 3 or 4 years ago with Colin Kaepernick. But what is the real sadness when it comes to prejudice and trouble and poverty in the black community? Is it not the black-on-black crime? Is it not the lack of a father figure in black families? Is it not a lack of a proper education? These are the things. Is it not how many black young men have killed other blacks in every major city? I think 10 people died in Chicago over this weekend in the black communities. But you never hear anything about that when people that are on football teams link arms and take a knee. But if you really want to solve the issues that are confronting black people, would it not be the issue of education, two-parent families? That kind of thing? I would think so. More people are dying at the hands of black people than are, you know, more black people are dying at the hands of black people by a long shot. It isn't even close. There are thousands and thousands of black people that are being shot, killed, stabbed, violently murdered in the black communities of the United States. In every major city and in every middle American city. And it's always the same. Every single one of those cities has the same issue. Every single one. So if you want to take a knee, would you include that in your thoughts? Would you include that in your thoughts? What about people like LeBron James? Did you happened to watch, if anybody watched Fox News' Mark Levin show last night, they had a young black conservative woman who made the point that all of this trouble is being run in democratically controlled cities with democratic mayors, and yet somehow, Republicans and conservatives are to blame for what they call systemic racism. Can you see where there is no logical reasoning behind saying that? None. There is none. There is a handful of crazy people that are like Aryan Nation, Ku Klux Klan, but you can count them on one hand. There aren't that many of them. And they're usually hiding behind their computers somewhere, rarely coming out. But that's what's being blamed and tolerated by the media, that somehow there is a handful of white people that is ruining black lives. Well, that is not the case. And the sooner we confront the real issues in the black community to help lift them up, you know what? Racism, if you're educated, if you work hard, if you produce, do you ever notice those people? Excuse me, those people don't get, they're not treated in a racially bad way, surprisingly. Anyway, I'm going to get a glass of water, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Mark Miller.
You've been a missing old boy.
Old boy.
When you're with me, old boy.
Old boy.
The whole world can see that you were meant for me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Force.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday, kind of a rainy day, and Sundays always get me down Monday. And delighted to have Mark Miller join us again. He is a senior attorney from the Pacific Legal Foundation, and he has penned a piece for the Daily Caller, an op-ed, really, about the new champion of private property rights, Barack Obama. Mark, welcome back.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Well, you say, among other things, that Barack Obama is protective of his seawall in that little domain that he has on his property in Hawaii, and perhaps had not been quite that generous with protection for property owners when he was president. Tell us a little bit about that, would you?
Yeah, I think that the real rub here is it's intriguing to see who now wants to build a wall. And in this case, it's not President Trump on our southern border, but instead it's President Obama who wants to build a wall, or actually rehabilitate a seawall on an estate in Hawaii. For your older listeners like me, you would remember the estate. It was the Magnum P.I. site on the TV show. They would do a lot of the outdoor filming at this property. And now President Obama and his business partner, a guy named Marty Nesbitt, both own the property, and they intend to rehabilitate the wall and redevelop the property, put three different homes on there. And I think President Obama intends for it to be a nice family retreat. But some environmentalists don't want to allow him to rehabilitate that seawall. A seawall has been there for something like 100 years, if I understand correctly. And in fact, they want to put tougher rules on the black man, if you will, whereas the Hawaii Land Use Planning Agency usually would allow you to rehabilitate a seawall like this. Generally, these seawalls are approved. In this case, environmentalists want to hold him to a higher standard, and they want to see his property sink into the ocean.
Wow.
Which to me is awfully disrespectful of his property rights, even if we can jest that it would be nice if President Obama had been more interested in property rights when he was president. Still, it's not fair for the rules to be applied differently to him than to anybody else.
Right. Right. Amazing. I mean, there is such hypocrisy when it comes to politics to begin with, right? We could take so many different issues where people, you know, like, for instance, people that demand that there be that guns be removed in the communities are surrounded by bodyguards in many cases. Yeah. I mean, it just...
Or Nancy Pelosi gets her hair done.
Yes! Yes! So we, you know, the hypocrisy thing, we get it. So during his tenure, for 8 years as president, and the people under him, and the way they treated people that had issues with their own property, you are saying that basically they kind of let the environmentalists kind of take control of the room? Is that true?
Well, absolutely true. And it's not just President Obama, but really for decades. You can go all the way back to it's not a Republican-Democrat thing. President Nixon is the one who put in a lot of environmental agencies and gave them absolute power, or at least what they think is absolute power, to even ignore the Fifth Amendment, where they think they can take your private property and not pay you just compensation because they think they have good intentions. In this case, they think because of sea rise, because of global climate change, that somehow we should just allow properties like this to fall into the ocean because it's better for the environment. Or perhaps they think, like in some of my cases here at Pacific Legal, that they think because there's an endangered frog that has once lived on a piece of property 50 or 60 years earlier, that this property should never be developed, even though the frog hasn't been seen there for 50 years.
Right.
They don't want to pay the landowner for that. It's one thing, you know, the Fifth Amendment doesn't prohibit taking private property for public use, but it prohibits taking it without paying money. And so here, these environmentalists are so serious about seeing President Obama's property fall into the ocean, they should pay him the tens of millions of dollars that I'm sure he and his business partner paid for the property. And, of course, they won't do that.
No, of course. We're talking with Mark Miller, a senior attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation. He has penned a piece, an op-ed in the Daily Caller. The new champion of private property rights is Barack Obama. We're talking a little bit about his seawall in California and...
Hawaii.
I'm sorry, in Hawaii, yes. Why do I have California on my mind? Because everything is going wrong in California right now, apparently.
And certainly the progressives run California.
That's another thing.
In this case, run Hawaii.
Talk about falling into the sea.
Yes.
I'm beginning to worry about the whole state of California falling into the ocean. Go ahead. I want to talk with you a little bit more, though, about this,
this
whole property right thing.
Yeah. With you in Tampa, and you know, I'm on the other side of the state here in Florida running the Florida office for Pacific Legal, and then you connect it to California. It's interesting that, you know, generally you've seen such seawall controversies where they don't want seawalls in California, and now the environmentalists don't want to see them in Hawaii. In Florida, for the most part, either by luck or by happenstance, we've avoided most of those seawall disputes generally, at least for the last 20 or 30 years. You know, saner heads have prevailed and recognized that, you know, human ingenuity can be used to address climate change, which, you know, climate's always changing. For example, none of us would live here in Florida, particularly South Florida, if air conditioning hadn't been invented.
Right.
And so here we have seawalls, and if human ingenuity says that we can create seawalls that accommodate a piece of property there and also ensure that other pieces of property are not negatively affected, well, that's wonderful. We should not be encouraging the destruction of property in the name of Mother Gaia, when as Americans and as human beings, you know, it's ingenuity that gets us over hurdles like this, whether it be the need for a seawall or, as I said, air conditioning or perhaps a vaccine. I mean, their logic would say, well, we should just give up because we now have COVID-19 and we should just let people die. No, we try to use human ingenuity to come up with a vaccine. And similarly, the seawall, in this case, is Obama's vaccine.
Right. What groups in particular are pushing against his fixing his seawall? I mean, is there like the Sierra Club, or I mean, is there a real push to not allow him to do this?
Yes, indeed. This wouldn't have crossed my radar but for a publication called ProPublica, which fancies itself a sort of left-wing journalist, that go out and they try to fight hypocrisy. But in fact, as I said, it's them being hypocrites, because they highlight this, and they call it in the article Obama and the Beach House loopholes, and they suggest that President Obama is trying to use a loophole. But it could be further from the truth. They actually report that these seawalls are usually allowed to be rehabilitated. So they're holding him to a higher standard. I wouldn't accuse him of racism, but it is intriguing that it's two African-American men who own the property, and they don't want to let them have the same rules that apply to everyone else. But in the article, that this ProPublica article, you have a quote from a professor, a geologist in Hawaii, who says it's irresponsible to allow this property to be, you know, redeveloped and to allow the seawall to be rehabilitated. Like, and it really
defies common sense, by the way, because if you want, we're trying to preserve land, are we not? We're trying to keep land from being over, you know, flooded, I guess, in some ways. You got to have a seawall. I don't know what environmentalists, why they would be opposed to building something, no matter how it's done, to preserve land. I mean,
well, I think the strident environmentalists would see this not unlike the strident radical anarchists out in the West that luckily we haven't had to deal with much here in Florida in the last few months, who just want to see things burn. And frankly, I think that's what it is. The strident environmentalists think that we, you know, raped and pillaged the nation when Western Europeans came here hundreds of years ago, of course, the 1619 Project and all that goes with that. And so really that's all this is about at the bottom. And they don't care who they take out. In this case, they're taking out President Obama. In many of my cases at Pacific Legal Foundation, they're taking out property owners who, you know, or small families who've been able to, over generations, amass a nice piece of property to live off of, and they want to take it away in the name of Mother Earth.
Yes. We're talking with Mark Miller, senior attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation. I can't help but go back and allude to what's going on in California right now, since Pacific Legal does a lot of things out there on the West Coast. We've got forest fires. We got fires, in fact, all over the place, not just in California. What is going on? Is this, I mean, I guess the simple answer, if you're a conservative, is, well, we're not doing our due diligence, and we're just we're giving in to the environmentalists to some extent. But is that really true?
Well, I think you just need to flesh that out. I do think, Paul, but that's what our friends tell us in the farming industry, the ranching industry, the timber industry, that it is environmental regulations that have prohibited property owners from trying to get rid of much of the underbrush that ends up being the fuel for these massive fires. And instead we have these restrictions that don't allow them, because we're protecting, for example, the spotted owl. So we can't take down some trees that are then used for the fire to spread. Or you can't get out the underbrush that is being used as the tinder, the fuel for the fires to start and then explode. And that's what we hear. And we say it was simple, but sometimes the simple answer is the right answer. And then there's a second issue, which I haven't heard as much, but I've heard in the past, which is with the federal government taking over management of a lot of federal property that in the past there were joint agreements where ranchers would get to ranch the property with their cows, their steer, what have you. But in exchange, they had to keep up the federal property. It was a deal. And the environmentalists who don't like that, the animal rights activists, have tried to eliminate much of those agreements out west. And again, in turn, that leads to the federal government having to manage these properties. And the federal government doesn't have the money or the manpower to do it. And so it's people who have good intentions, but oftentimes good intentions lead to bad consequences.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think, what we're seeing.
I don't know that I've ever seen it. With all the fires raging literally along all of the West Coast, I don't think I've ever seen it so bad. It's kind of scary. Now, a lot of that is just pure dryness, right? And although this is much, in California in particular, it's a big desert. And people that move there got to realize
it. In California and Oregon particularly,
yeah.
They're ascribing to some dryness, but you do see, you know, it's similar to, again, the vaccine. COVID-19, that I'm not a scientist, so to an extent, it's just what do I read and what did I read last? And what I've seen is that this isn't even as dry as many other years, but so it sort of points the finger not at the climate change idea, because climate's always changing, but rather that we're not we're putting in development and we're not being allowed to then create fire breaks and deal with these fires ahead of time such that they can't get out of control like they are now. Secondarily, there are rumors out west of people setting fires intentionally.
Yes.
But whether that's true or not, I'm not out there, so I can't really speak.
No,
to that,
I think there's
scary thought.
I think it's more than rumors. I think they've seen some accidentally in some cases. I think there was an organization out there doing some ritual or something. I don't remember exactly, but it got out of hand, and maybe a fire started accidentally. But when things are that dry, and then they got the water issue, right? I mean, you can see why people are leaving California.
Yeah, I think was it on your show earlier where you were talking about it's one of those states where people are leaving in droves, and Florida obviously is growing. I think New Jersey, New York.
I think for the first time, California actually did lose population. I mean, if you included everything, I mean, there were that many people taken off that it affected the actual population to some extent, you know, or at least as far as coming in or going out, for sure, more were going out than coming in. So something's going wrong there.
Well, hopefully the people there will realize it and start electing better leaders.
Yes.
Will make better public policy decisions. Much of this is not constitutional law, which is what I do. It's just public policy. And you can see that they're reaping the consequences of about 30 or 40 years of bad leadership.
No question. Mark, it is always a pleasure to talk with you. You're very knowledgeable. And this is a very, very interesting and important topic about private property rights. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Paul. Have a great week.
You too. Mark Miller. Okay, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Donald Trump went to Nevada, held an indoor rally, much to the chagrin of the governor of Nevada near Las Vegas. Let's get some thoughts from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Cerase. Oh, no, we're not. Angelo. Oh, we don't have the proprietor. All right, we'll get it from Angelo, his brother.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And President Trump, he of high energy, was out in Las Vegas last night. He held an indoor rally near there in a warehouse. In a warehouse. I wonder what kind of a warehouse it is. Anyway, he called the state's governor a political hack and urged him to open up the state. He spoke to thousands that were crammed in there, and I think I saw a little bit of it. Some of them were wearing masks. A lot of them were not. And, of course, President Trump was not wearing it. He says, you have a governor right now who is a political hack. Tell your governor to open up your state. Open up your state. And away he went. This guy has got unbelievable energy. In the meantime, where was Biden? Is he sitting behind, hiding behind a teleprompter? We've got the brothers Seracy, both of them, as it turns out. I thought we just had Angelo. We've also got Andrew. Andrew, let me start with you, my friend. Did you watch? Oh, I think you were probably busy watching football, so maybe you didn't even watch the president.
Paul, you know, I didn't realize the time difference, so I missed the president. However, okay. I didn't watch football at all.
You didn't, okay.
Okay, but I did see that there were like some 40,000 people who showed up in Nevada.
There was many thousands, it says here. I wouldn't be surprised. He had a great turnout.
Yeah. I mean, they panned the audience from the pictures that I saw, and I'll tell you what. You know, if anybody says that Biden is ahead in these polls, you've got to laugh when you see the response Trump is getting.
You know, and I have been going, I'll be honest, back and forth in my mind about it, because you're right. I mean, I don't think that Biden could excite himself, okay? So he's not going to excite anybody else. But then I think, but you know, Trump can just be so mean that a lot of people just are turned off by his personality. And, you know, and we've talked about this before, if you're not liked personally, it's a big factor when it comes to voting, don't you think?
Well, Paul, apparently a lot of people got to like him and don't think he's a meanie when you get 40,000 people showing up.
No, you're right. That's why, I mean...
Trump relates and talks to the people in a way they understand. I mean, let's face it, not everybody's nice. You know where nice gets you. Nowhere.
Yeah. So let me bring in Angelo. Angelo, you're up there in New York, in Rochester, New York. All kinds of trouble going on in Rochester, unfortunately. And here I'm talking about, you know, the personality of Donald Trump, and I go back and forth in my mind. Now, be honest. If he wasn't a president and you met Donald Trump on the street or you walked into a bar and you were having a couple of drinks and he was sitting next to you, would you want to continue to have drinks or would you want to move to a table?
No, I would continue to have drinks, but
So you kind of like his personality?
Yeah, you know, we're all different, you know, and you just have to accept people for what they are and who they are. You know, and I think he relates to the kind of guy walking down the street more so than Joe Biden. The Democrats, even like Hillary Clinton at the time, you know, they kind of talk above the people in the United States. They seem more elite than kind of an ordinary person. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
They just don't relate. Or, you know, like I was watching Candace Owen last night on Mark Levin.
On Levin, yes.
And she can relate to people. You know what I'm saying? The way she talks.
Yes.
A lot of these people that they think they're elitists for some odd reason. In fact, I have friends. I have lost friends because I like Trump. I've been dropped on Facebook. I've been even a close friend of mine. I've grown up with him since we were like 5-6 years old. We used to get together for coffee, you know, with some of his friends, and like they went to this elite high school, so to speak. And, you know...
That's no question. I agree with you.
They just don't relate.
Okay, right. They're destroying... this thing with Trump, I've never seen it before, but it's destroying relationships. Andrew, so we can agree that Trump does. He hits a nerve with people, a positive nerve. No question about it. No question. And then all... I mean, if you would, you know, under normal times without the pandemic, I think everything's going the Republicans' way. What do you think in terms of this pandemic? How much do you think people, not just, you know, you got to kind of step outside yourself here a little bit, but the country as a whole, how much do they blame Trump for it?
Paul, you know, the pandemic is fading away. Matter of fact, football started, and that kind of took over. You don't hear about the pandemic. I hear about football.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how they try to blame Trump for causing the divide in the country and this and that? Yesterday alone, football caused a divide in my house.
Yeah.
Okay, between my son and I. We had an argument because I won't allow football on in my house. Until these people learn respect, I don't want no part of them. And my
You're not the only one that's doing that. I've got some friends that are doing the same thing. Go ahead.
And my I don't even watch football anymore.
And my son came over, and we started talking about it, and him and I don't see eye to eye. I started calling his football players a few different names, and he went off the wall. We had an argument you wouldn't believe. And I felt terrible about it this morning. I said, this is ridiculous. This is actually causing a divide between my son and I. It's not Trump causing this. It's all these other morons that are causing this divide.
Yeah.
Believe me.
They keep
putting their 2 cents in.
We actually started our show, and I was talking about this. I thought it's more dividing than connecting. And we talked a little bit about the real issues in the black community. If you want to talk about systemic racism, but the real issues that are hurting black people is black-on-black crime, lack of good schooling for the kids, lack of a father in the families. In every inner city in this country, from the East Coast to the West Coast, the same problem in every single city. So tell me, if that's the case, why are not these black leaders focusing on that?
Well, I think they want to keep them down where they are. Look at this Al Sharpton. He's been making millions off of these people, those millions in taxes.
Opportunists.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, but you just said you have to blame the blacks for their own problems. You got fatherless society.
It's individuals.
It's not just the blacks that are dividing this country.
Last night,
they had a person by the name of Anton. He was one of the national security advisors early in the administration of President Trump. Was talking about how the Democrats, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, telling Joe Biden, don't you concede ever or anything like that. That's why they're pushing the mail-in ballots, you know, if things go their way. They can say they won or they can blame Trump and the Republicans for losing. And also telling the military that they would have to take President Trump out of office on January 20th, 2021. Getting the military involved.
Yeah, it's crazy,
but
isn't it?
Not just like Black Lives Matter or Antifa that's pushing all this. It's also the Democratic Party who is systemically destroying this country.
There are people, for whatever reason, that want to create upheaval and chaos.
In this country.
They do want to see our government topple. For whatever reason, it's a personal animus towards success. I think a lot of it is jealousy.
Communism. Communism. The communists really want to take this country over.
Mm-hmm.
But
even communism is rooted in jealousy.
The two co-founders are communists.
Yeah, but even socialism and communism. Think about it. They're rooted in jealousy of people that do well. Are they not? If you go back to Russia, they went after all of the people that were making the money. And brought them down.
Well,
even the French Revolution did it. I mean, every single, it's the haves versus the have-nots. And the have-nots are jealous. They're envious. They didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't get, you know, from not doing it. It's like the old parable about the three pigs, one builds brick, the other two build, you know, to barely build.
Right,
that kind of thing. And so they're jealous.
Well, I think they, not just jealous, but they want to control who gets what. They want to, the Communist Manifesto, you know, it was like they always use that point of saying, we're going to take from the rich and give to the poor.
Well, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs. That's the Karl Marx Manifesto.
And they've been wanting to take control of this country. Senator Joseph McCarthy, back in the 50s, when he was holding his House Un-American Activities, right, was bringing out communists that were in the media.
The media has never forgiven.
And they're still entrenched today.
Yeah, and the media has painted McCarthy as the ultimate villain. They have never forgiven him.
They're part of the communist takeover in this country.
All I'm saying, Angelo, is that I think the very, you know, at the very bottom, if you really scrape away everything else, the people that are communists and sympathizers and socialists, they really do, they're envious and jealous of people that have worked hard and made something of themselves. And for whatever reason, I think that's the spark that turns them into this nonsensical, you know, I'm going to take money away and property away from you because you got too much of it, right? And I'm going to give it to this guy over here because he doesn't have enough. I mean, it never works. We know it never works. And, of course, the people that are directing it are always the ones that become the billionaires because they're hoarding all the money and everything else at the top.
Oligarch.
Exactly.
You think, they call that the Robin Hood theory, don't they? Take from the rich to give to the poor?
Exactly.
That's what I said, yeah.
When will we ever learn?
Well, right now, this country is so ripe for a communist takeover. It's unbelievable. They almost had a coup against our government and the president. It came very close. The people of America don't really realize how close our government was going to be toppled.
And they might try again.
They're trying to topple it now.
Yeah.
To push it over that edge. It's so close right now that there may be problems during this election cycle because these people are so adamant about taking control of this country. They're so adamant. When you start talking about using the military to take the president out of the White House, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff sent a letter to Biden's people and everything, the military will not get involved in this election. And this is what happens in third world countries. And this is what they're trying to do now.
It's interesting you bring that up, Ansel. It's
interesting. The stakes are so high, it's unbelievable.
You know, Angelo, it's interesting you bring this up. I got a call from somebody last night about this very thing, about coming and taking Trump out of the White House with the military because he would refuse to go. I mean, that kind of nonsense that's getting out into the public domain is so stupid.
Well, they're pushing it. Mm-hmm. Biden's campaign is pushing this.
Right.
And when was there ever a campaign talking like this here? I've never, ever been, you know, ever since, you know, I've been able to vote and, you know, fight for this country and everything like that. I've never seen it like this.
Yeah.
Never.
You're right.
Even during the Vietnam War protest, I was out in Vietnam when all this stuff was going on. I mean, you hear a little bit of it, and we knew that people weren't backing us up, and when we came home, I was called a baby killer, murderer, the whole nine yards.
Yeah,
you know?
Oh, it's terrible. Absolutely.
And you know, I've never... This is the worst I have ever seen it,
mm-hmm.
ever.
Mm-hmm. Well,
where people, friends don't talk to friends anymore. Systematically, not just systematic racism in this country. There is systematic trying to topple our country.
Yeah, and here's what I'm hoping. Here's what I am hoping, gentlemen. I'll leave you with this final note: that when Biden gets up to talk in this first debate, I think Chris Wallace, who hopefully will be fair and ask some tough questions, I think the whole Biden thing can come tumbling down like a house of cards. If indeed, from what I'm seeing of him, I'm not sure that his performance may do him in. I wonder. I really wonder if that the make or break. But I may be wrong.
How about this early voting, Paul, where they're pushing the mail-in voting? Last night on TV, I saw where LifeLock, they're advertising stolen identity, stolen mortgages, stolen bank accounts, this and that, fraud, and all this and that on your computers, right?
Yes.
You got Nancy Pelosi pushing the mail-in votes with the same. There's no protection against scams in the post office because I worked there 37 years. There's so many scams that people tried to do and fraud going on. You're advertising it on one breath on TV that you got to get this LifeLock to protect yourself for your emails and everything else, but yet you got the Speaker of the House and Schumer pushing mail-in voting. And then mail-in voting is going to be used, you know, early voting is going to be used before the debates.
Yeah.
How can they do that?
It's all messed up. I tell you, the best thing we can do is go to the polls. That way you don't have a handoff of your ballot between five people, you know?
Right. No, this should be regular going to the polls to vote.
We always did it before and got along just fine, thank you.
What's that?
We did it before where everybody voted at the polls. We got along just fine.
Right. Well, they're pushing this mail-in voting because they're trying, just like Zuckerberg, he's pushing that too, saying it's a true election. Nothing can go wrong, even if it takes a long, long time.
Right.
See, this is what they're pushing. They're pushing this because then they can say, well, we have to take Trump out of the White House. He hasn't won. You know, all this stuff. They've been pushing and pushing and pushing. And the more you talk about it every day, the more people start believing this stuff.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I got to run, but I thank you. Very, very interesting conversation. Thank you, Angelo. Thank you, Andrew. And I will be talking with both of you, Andrew in particular, on tomorrow, Tuesday.
You got it, buddy. You have a good day, bro.
All right. Thanks, Angelo.
Yeah, bro.
All right, buddy. There they go, the brothers Ceresi. We let them go a little bit because we're talking about some important stuff. Really important stuff. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, we talked briefly about Candace Owens. Wait till you hear what she says about LeBron James.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And for those of you that don't know who Candace Owens is, you're probably going to find out about her in the not-too-distant future. She appeared on Life, Liberty, and Levin last night on Fox News. She's a conservative author and an activist, and she is a black woman. And she took LeBron James, the great basketball player, to task last night over his recent comments on race relations. She says, quote, about LeBron James, "I always say if you're suffering through racism, Mr. James, please give me some of that." Because he's got a white gardener, he's got a white chef, he's got all kinds of white people that work for him. He's got a white driver, did you know that? He is the last guy to complain about systemic racism in this country. And he's making him, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And why? Because this is the greatest country in the world when it comes to making money if you work hard or are good at what you do. And he's certainly good at what he does. So that's what she says. Now, she's the author of a recent book called Blackout. I almost had one because the chair is falling apart, Ed.
Would it go back on
the
you?
Switch? Yeah. That's all right. If I fall on my back, I can sue Lola, make a lot of money. I won't do the show anymore. What's wrong with that? This is America, right? Anyway, she's the author of a recent book called Blackout, How Black America Can Make Its Second Escape from the Democratic Plantation. So right away, you know where she's going, right? The Democratic Plantation. And she said, if I opened my inbox and showed you the amount of celebrities in Hollywood and the like that have written to me privately, that's that silent majority that we're always talking about. They've written to me and they said, I'm finally starting to see the truth. I can't stand being in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to use my voice to say what I actually believe. I'm telling you, she has hit a spark. And this is perhaps why there is a percentage of the black community that's probably going to vote for Trump, more so than most people would really believe. Okay. We didn't get a chance, Ed, but real quickly, the football game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints didn't go our way, did it?
No, it just showed that the Bucs had their lack of preseason games
and their continuity together. I think they'll get that fixed by next week.
You think so?
Yeah.
So they still have a decent team, right?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Okay, good. All right, it's time for our top 10. And we got an interesting one, Ed. This is the top 10 outbound states. In other words, people leaving. Okay, and this comes from Forbes magazine and Allied Van Lines. Mm. Allied Van Lines should know, should they not?
Yeah.
Because they are being called to either move people in or move people out. All right. So here we go. Top 10. Number 10. Wisconsin.
Really?
Wisconsin. Yeah, they're moving out. Percentage moving out, 54.5% of the total moves, 3,285. All right. Number 9. Utah. I wouldn't have thought Utah. Percentage moving out, 55.7%. How come? Maybe they don't like the Mormons anymore.
Yeah, not much going on in Utah, I guess.
Oh, when was there ever anything going on in Utah?
Most of us would like to get out of here and go to Utah.
Yeah, right. Number 8, Kentucky. Would you believe that? Kentucky. Mm. Percentage moving out, 56%.
Mm.
Wow. Okay, number 7. Ohio,
yeah.
Ohio, right there in the Mideast or Midwest. Percentage moving out, 56.2%. Okay. Number 6, Massachusetts.
Hmm.
Lots of taxes and the whole bit up there. Percent moving out, 56.3. Number 5, this one surprised me a little bit, Kansas. I guess there's not much going on there. I thought everything was up to date in Kansas City, but anyway, percentage moving out, 56.7%. Number 4, Connecticut, another high-tax state near New York. Mm-hmm. I understand that one. Percentage moving out, 57.1. Number 3, New York itself. Need we say any more? We've been watching what's going on there with their wonderful mayor and wonderful governor, right? And people can't stand either one of them.
Right.
Number 2, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we know about that as well. Very densely populated. I guess getting less so if people are moving out. Very high taxes. Very close to New York City. Percentage moving out of there is 62.9%. Mm. All right, Ed. We're down to number 1. What state do you think is the number 1 state that people are moving
out? I'm going to say because of all the violence there. I'm going to go with Illinois.
All right. Roll the drum. Golly, you play a mean drum.
Yeah.
Just like Ringo Starr. You're right.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
it's because of all the trouble, maybe. Yeah. But Illinois and the high taxes and everything. And they got a corrupt government in Springfield, their capital, as well. The percentage moving out is 63.4%. There are going to be 4 people left in Illinois when everything's... We still have a little time. So you think that Tom Brady looked good in the game for the
Bucs? He didn't look good. There was a lot of miscommunication. But they'll get that fixed. Normally, during preseason games, they iron those things out. But there weren't any preseason games.
Yeah, that's true. I thought in the first round, first series, I thought Brady looked actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And then things got kind of worse. You think they'd go the other way.
They went right down the field and put it in the end zone.
What about Drew Brees? Do you think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league?
I think he's slipping a little bit. He only threw for 164 yards yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Do you think there's a chance those two could be in the championship game of the NFC?
That's possible, yeah. Okay. That's possible.
All right, we got to run. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, freedom works.